You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast. I am your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. We have reached the midway point of the week and the midway point of the month of May. It is Wednesday, May 16th, 2018. As always, if you like what you hear, subscribe to this show. You can do it on iTunes, you can do it on Spotify, you have a few other options beyond that. And if you do enjoy this, give it a good review in iTunes. It certainly helps us out, and thank you for those who have done so. We started the week discussing guys who are kind of wild card for the Jets, guys whose performance could go one way or another. We talked on Tuesday about guys who you can really count on, the guys who are kind of the quote-unquote sure things on the roster, the reliable guys. Today we're going to talk about players who have something to prove. So I'm going to give you five guys who I think this year have something to prove with the Jets, and in some of the cases, their careers may be on the line, and in almost all the cases, their career with the team is certainly on the line this year. Now, I tried to do my best to stay realistic here because there are lots of guys who have plenty on the line this year on this roster right now. I mean, there are lots of guys who are essentially camp bodies who face long odds of making the team and their careers are on the line, but we're not really expecting much from them. It's probably not realistic to hope that these guys are going to amount to players. Now, there's always a random guy in camp or two who beats long odds and turns into a player. You know, you think Robbie Anderson 2 years ago, who heading into training camp, nobody thought he'd make the team. By the end of training camp, he was an obvious choice. There was no doubt he was a lock to make the roster. And by the end of year two, he's a good starter and actually one of the better deep threats in the NFL. But I'm not going to talk about guys like that because for every Robbie Anderson, there are 20 guys who never amount to anything, and that might be an understatement. So I'm trying to bring you guys who are, I think, realistic options, who could conceivably do something for the Jets, could conceivably make a positive impact. So with that in mind, I'm not going to talk about Devin Smith, who was the second-round pick from 3 years ago, because I think the Jets have kind of moved on. And I'm going to go the same Christian Hackenberg. I think the Jets have moved on when they draft Sam Darnold. So even though those guys were early-round draft picks, I just don't see them sticking on this team. I'd be surprised. So we're going to try and find five guys out of a pool of players who are, I think, viable bets to make the roster if things go right. And in some cases, these guys will be on the roster. In other cases, they'll have to prove it, and that's what they have to prove. So let's jump right in. And the first guy I'll give you is the third. I talked about the second-round pick, Devin Smith, from 2015. I'm going to give you the third-round pick from 2015, Lorenzo Maldon, whose career has kind of gone off the rails the last 2 years. And it's funny because if you go back to 2015, he was in a situational role. He was a guy who was a part-time player. He played a lot on pass rushing downs, and he actually did a pretty credible job. I think in year one, people were very happy with the performance he gave in, and I think with good reason. I think he did his job effectively in year one. Now, year two comes along, and the Jets are hoping for a little bit more. They're hoping he'll grow into more of an every-down player, and as is really kind of the case right now, the Jets really did not have much in the way of a proven edge guy at that point in time. So I think they were hoping that he would turn into somebody they could rely on. I think he was kind of penciled in as a starter heading into that season. And of course, things really kind of fell apart for him. And I talk about this all the time with people I know, and I've probably mentioned it on the podcast. I mean, he was playing week four, the last preseason game, second half. Nobody of any consequence is playing then. So when you're playing then, the coaching staff's telling you, we don't think you're really much of a player. Even if you're going to be on the team, you're not one of our core players, which was quite a stark drop-off because, again, he entered training camp as the guy. He was good. He was the one guy who was seemingly guaranteed to start. He seemed like a virtual lock to be a starter, and he kind of lost the starting role. And, you know, I go back to that camp, and I remember there was a lot of talk was how Maldon had a quiet camp, and he was matched up against Ryan Clady a lot. So that was either a really good thing for Clady or a really bad thing for Maldon. And as it turned out, Clady did not really have much left in the tank, so it was just a kind of a foreshadowing of things to come with Maldon. And then 2017, he suffers an injury. He misses the full year. So you really have not gotten much out of him the last 2 years after a fairly encouraging start. You know, you look back to 2015, as the season was happening, that draft class was looking pretty solid because you had your first, you weren't getting much out of round two, Devin Smith, but Leonard Williams was doing his thing, and then Maldon was looking pretty solid as a third round pick, and he just really has not grown yet. But he is going to have a chance because, once again, the Jets don't really have much in the way of proven edge guys. Jordan Jenkins is going to be a starter, but he's not really a guy who's going to be on the field and pass rushing down. So Maldon's going to get one last shot to show what he can do for this team. And can he make the most of it? And if he can't, I mean, it's really, you can't blame the Jets because the Jets have given him every opportunity over these last few years. So it's all on Maldon now. So he's got something to prove. He's got to prove that he can be a player in this league. Now we'll move on and we'll stay with the theme of third-round picks, and I'll talk Ardarius Stewart, the third-round pick from a year ago, from 2017, who did not do much as a rookie, which is not something I don't expect a whole lot from rookie third-rounders. That just, if you look through the NFL, every year somebody goes in optimistic, and I have this discussion with somebody every year. I say, don't expect much from your rookie third-rounder. And somebody goes, well, no, John, you're wrong. You're wrong. I mean, this guy can play. And very seldom can a third rounder contribute as a rookie. Now, with that said, I think you had to be kind of disappointed with what you got from Stewart as a rookie. You would have liked a little bit more. This was not a Jets team with great receiving depth. You would have liked more than 6 catches, 82 yards. And he was kind of drafted, I got the feeling, as quote-unquote offensive weapon. I felt like he was going to kind of be a hybrid type player where they were going to try and get him the ball in space, utilize him in the return game, and really did not look very explosive with the ball in his hands, which is, I think it's actually a little troubling because when it comes to running routes, things like that, that takes time to develop. I can live with that as a rookie. But when you have the ball in your hands, whether it's a return guy, whether you're catching a screen, getting a handoff, getting the ball in space, it tends to either be there or it's not. And it really did not look there for Stewart. But more than that, it felt like Chad Hansen passed him. It felt like Chad Hansen was ahead of him on the depth chart by the time the year ended. Now, the Jets have brought in some more receivers. They brought in Terrell Pryor. You still have Jermaine Kearse around. Quincy Enunwa's coming back. And with Hansen in place, suddenly Stewart faces a tough battle to make the team. He may have to earn his roster spot. Now, we know the way the Jets function under Mike Maccagnan. Maccagnan's tried to give his draft picks every chance. Maccagnan is not a guy who cuts his draft picks quickly. And that's something you see frequently. Not everybody does it that way, but Maccagnan does not like to cut his own draft pick. So Stewart's got a real shot here. But Stewart, what he has to prove that he deserves a spot on the roster. And that's what Ardarius Stewart has to prove. He has to prove he deserves a spot on the roster against a pretty crowded field at the wide receiver position. And, you know, maybe he'll look better in space this year. Maybe he can even earn a spot in the return game. But it's something he's got a lot to prove this year. We've talked about Lorenzo Maldon. We've talked about Ardarius Stewart. And you know what? I'm going to keep the theme of the third-round pick going. Now, this one was before Mike Maccagnan. This was a John Idzik third-rounder. But why don't we talk Brian Winters a little bit? Winters, who got a lucrative deal last offseason. The Jets paid him quite a bit to stick around. And they did not get much out of him in 2017. Now, there's all these reports coming out. He was hurt. He was banged up. Well, okay. And I'm not a big believer in the whole injury thing. You know, my view is kind of, and I've said this, you know, and I'm not downplaying what Winters went through. Hats off to him for playing through it. But my view has kind of evolved to the point where, you know, if you're playing through it, I don't love the idea you go back after it and then point to that as a reason. And I don't think Winters has done, I think people have done that. I'm not sure Winters has made excuses, but I think people have pointed to that, and we'll see. I think if you're good enough to suit up, you have to be accountable for your level of play. If you're not able to play effectively physically because of an injury, then you really should think about the team. You know, you really should think about sitting down. So I don't know how much. I mean, my thing with him is you can blame the injury as much as anything, but this is not a guy with a great track record in this league. I mean, he was pretty effective in 2016. But he only played like 3/4 of that season. So essentially what you have is a guy who's been in the NFL since 2013 and really has 3/4 of a season of effective play. So I'm kind of skeptical of the idea that it was just the injury. We'll see. I mean, he was, and maybe he's a better fit for this system, for Jeremy Bates' offense. Jets already ran a lot of zone running, though, with John Morton last year, so I'm not sure it's going to be a drastic. I think they'll run more zone, but they were already running a lot of zone last year. So I guess we'll see what Winters can do. Winters, what he has to prove, he's worth the contract he got, because you know, you look at his full body of work, and he's a guy who looked like he put together a solid contract year and got paid off it. And there's not a whole lot else that really makes you feel good at this point, or at least makes me feel good at this point about his career, that makes me optimistic. I mean, there are other guys on the offensive line I feel more optimistic about. Winters, he has to prove he's worth the contract. Now let's talk about, we'll finally leave the third round, and the fourth guy I'll mention is the first round pick from 2 years ago, and that is Darren Lee. And Lee's career has been up and down. He's had some ups, but I think there have been more downs than ups. And I think that, you know, I've heard a lot of people suggest that Lee made a big jump from year one to year two, and I would have to disagree with that, because I will tell you, I think about the things Lee did not do effectively in year one, and they were essentially the same in year two. And the Jets put a lot on his plate, and I don't think he really responded. He had a nice little stretch around the midway point, but I mean, essentially he's a guy who, when the play's in front of him unblocked, he can go north and south and go get the ball. And that's nice, and he's tenacious when he does that, but that's not enough. You know, I keep hearing about how he's misplaced in this system, and, you know, he should be in a 4-3. Well, the Jets run a lot of four-man defensive lines. They put him in a lot of different spots, and Even when he's put in this role, this mystical role, people have talked about how he needs to be in a 4-3, he needs to be a weak side guy. He's not that good. I don't think he's a good East and West player. I don't think he has good instincts. I think he overruns a lot of plays. When it comes to shedding blocks, he's not really capable there. And the biggest issue, I think, is coverage, because the Jets did put a lot on his plate coverage-wise. They gave him a lot of the difficult responsibilities, which, in a way, I think helped DeMario Davis thrive last year, because they took those off Davis's plate. They put them on Lee's plate. And statistically, Lee was not good. Lee was had one of the highest rates of yardage allowed through the air last year. You know, some of the highest yardage receiving yards allowed in coverage at the linebacker position in the league last year. So I think he's got to prove that he's a part of this defense going forward. And that's something that you look at his career, 2 years into his career, I don't think that you would have signed up for what you've gotten so far. I don't think the Jets would have signed up. He's got to step it up this year, and he's going to keep getting chances because he is a first round pick. So the Jets are counting on him to be an impact player. He needs to be more of an impact player this year. And we'll close it out with a guy who was actually on our wild card list. I did my best to try and avoid this week putting guys on the same list, but this one's just too obvious, and that is Teddy Bridgewater. And we've discussed this, and I'm not sure how long Bridgewater is for this team. I think the Darnold pick really changed the dynamics there, but what Bridgewater has to prove is pretty obvious. And I think there's a reason Bridgewater chose the Jets, because the Jets are, even with the Darnold pick, the Jets are one of the most viable places where Bridgewater could potentially play. There aren't many places where he would have a legitimate shot of playing, and the Darnold pick does reduce his odds quite a bit, but they're still better here than they would be in a lot of other places. And even if he's looking for another spot, even if he's just playing, and we know he's probably not a long-term player for the Jets now after the addition of Darnold, even if he figures out a trade and some team suffers a quarterback injury and wants Bridgewater looks good in free agency, even if the Jets work out a trade, send him elsewhere, he's got to show that he's over the knee injury, because this knee injury was devastating. You know, it was a devastating knee injury. It knocked 2 years off his career. And there's a lot of debate as to how good Bridgewater was in Minnesota, and you can argue either way. I think there was evidence in Minnesota that he could, you know, that he could be a player. There was evidence that was negative. I think the one thing you have to say is there's at least a possibility that Bridgewater was on a franchise quarterback trajectory. It was not a guarantee, but there was at least a possibility. So he has to prove he's over the knee injury, and he has to prove that his career is back on track. And again, I don't think he's long for the Jets, and I think he's auditioning for another team. You know, I think, but he's still, the Jets will give him as much of a showcase as anybody, because the Jets still don't have an obvious starter. You know, you have McCown, who is 30, going to be 39. You have Darnold, who's a rookie. There's a pathway for him. Now, it's a tough pathway because you have to go through the incumbent starter and the new guy of the future, but it's still more of a path than he'd have in a lot of other spots. So he's going to have an opportunity, and I'm sure the Jets would love to trade him, if nothing else, showcase him, see what he can do in preseason, if nothing else. So he'll get his opportunity to prove it. He has to prove he's over the knee injury. So those are the five guys I think with something to prove this year. Malden, Stewart, Winters, Lee, Bridgewater. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe. iTunes, Spotify are your two best bets. Enjoy your Wednesday. We will be back on Thursday.